Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Chav Ches. We will begin on Daf Chav Ches on Amud Aleph at the beginning of the Gemara, top of the Amud. Our Mishnah in the previous shir, at the end of the shir, we learned the Mishnah that discusses the various individuals who are possible for Eidus because they are relatives. And the Gemara began, the first case that the Mishnah spoke about were fathers and children. And the Mishnah taught us, the Gemara taught us that how do we know that they are indeed possible? Because the Pasuk says, La yum sabanim al avas sabanim, la yum sa avas abanim, abanim al avas. So, says the Gemara, Ashkechan avas labanim. We've identified how we know that father and sons cannot say Eidus for each other. Ashkechan avas labanim, abanim al avas. Vekashkein, avas lahadadi. And as we read these words of Avos Lahadadi, we need to introduce a concept that's going to be very important in understanding our shir, Be'ezer Hashem. And that is the concept of generations. So if I have a father, my father's generation one, he's a Rishon. I am a Sheni, and my children are a Shlishi. So the Gemara says, if the Pasuk says the father's can't say Eidus for children and children for the fathers, which are situations of Rishon and Sheni, Koshken Avos Lahadadi. Two brothers could not say Eidus for each other, for that would be a situation of Rishon L'Rishon. Bonim L'Bonim Enolam. But how do we know that cousins can't say Eidus for each other? Bonim L'Bonim meaning a Sheni for a Sheni. Answers the Gemara, Imke L'Chtav Kro Lo Yumsa Ovais Aben. It would be adequate for if the Torah only meant a Rishon for a Sheni, or a Rishon for a Rishon, but not a Sheni for a Sheni. It would be enough that the Torah should use the words La Yumsa Avos Aben, my Bonim. What does the Torah mean by using the words Bonim? That Filu Bonim Lahadadi. A Sheni for a Sheni, first cousins cannot say Eidus for each other. Says the Gemara, Ashkan Bonim Lahadadi. So I can't be an aid for my cousin, and vice versa. However, asked the Gemara, Bonim L'Alma Menolan, how do we know that two first cousins cannot join to be Edom together? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Chama Sfarihi. It's a Sfara. Ketanya, we discussed in our previous year the concept of Edom Zomim. And one of the halachas we're going to learn in Masechet Makos and Mitzvot about Edom Zomim is that Ein Edom Nasim Zomim, a pair of Edom cannot be declared to be Edom Zomim, Achi Zumishneim, unless both of them are declared to be Edom Zomim. And again, to explain, as we said it at length in our previous year, the definition of Edom Zomim is that if a pair of Edom say testimony, and other pair comes and says, how could have you possibly have offered that testimony? Imano Yisim, you were with us elsewhere at that time and that day. V'isak Daitach, ask the Gemara, if we're going to suggest Bonim La'alma K'sherim, that two first cousins could say Eidus together about a subject, Nimtzed Eid Zomim, Nereg Be'Eidus Achiv. We have a situation, suggests the Gemara, that two Eid Zomim, two Eidim, or one relative, is getting disqualified because of his relative. Meaning, if Reuven and Shimon are cousins, and we're learning that Reuven and Shimon, who are first cousins to each other, could say Eidus together, and we're also learning a halacha, that people cannot be declared Edom Zomim, only of both of them are declared Edom Zomim, so that means Reuven's ability to be an Eid is dependent on his relative Shimon, and vice versa. Shimon's ability to be an Eid is dependent on Reuven. So that means my entire ability to be an aid depends on my relative. So that is a situation the Gemara says that I'm only going to be an aid zomim because of my relative. That we know a relative, we said before, cannot cause another relative to be, cannot be the cause of another relative with his aidus. So as the Rishonim, the Tosfos Rosh points out, the Gemara could have actually have made its point without this entire discussion. Because the Gemara could have said a much simpler svara. The Gemara could have said that if two cousins, two relatives, can be Edom together, that means and we know that two Edom are required to be a valid Edus, that means my ability to be an aid, if I'm coming together with a relative of mine, completely is dependent on my relative, and vice versa. And the Tosfos Rosh says the Gemara could indeed have made that argument. But the Gemara wanted to introduce the concept of Edom Zayimim because the halacha is to show that I'm going to get, that we learned that Edom Zayimim gets punished, as the Pasuk says, Vasisim loikasha zomam lasis l'ochiv. So he gets punished because of his other aid's testimony. And here we'll have a situation, not just that the validity or my ability to say aidus depends on my relative, but I'm actually going to get punished because my relative, so the point is made much stronger. Furthermore, the Yad Ramah, as we're going to learn in a moment, the Gemara actually refutes this line of reasoning. The Yad Ramah says the Gemara could have had a different refutation to this line of reasoning. The Yad Ramah says the Gemara could have said the halacha is that if three people say testimony together, they also could become Edom Zayimim. Now, what would be the halacha if three people said Edus together? Two are relatives and one wasn't related to them. So now they're all Edom Zayimim, but you see it has nothing to do with my relative. So that could have been a question that the Gemara asked, but the Gemara asks a different question. What's the Gemara's question? Amalei Rava Utameich, we learned in Masecht of Abasra. So as we discussed many times in Masecht of Abasra, if I purchase a property, proof that I am the owner of this property is achieved by me having my document of sale, the sale document. However, as the Gemara in Masecht of Babasra and Perichas Sabatim discusses at great length, people typically were not expected or did not always hold on to the bill of sales. And that's why there's a concept of chazaka. That after 3 years that I've been on a piece of property undisputed, and I have edim that I was on this property all these years with the previous owner not protesting, the fact that I don't have my bill of sale is not specifically an issue. I can rely on a chazaka that I am the owner of the property. Typically, or the best way to prove a chazaka, is that I should bring two edim, I should bring a pair of individuals, to say, we know that this person was on this property all of the years, uncontested. But the Gemara Mishnah, Masechta Babasra, discusses the following situation. What would be if I'm on a piece of property, and I want to prove that I have a chazaka on this property, I could bring, suggests the Gemara, Shlosh Echad Vech Mitztaraf Imam. I could have three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Reuven and a fourth individual is not related. And what we'll have is as follows. Harei Eilu Gimel Igis Vein Eidus Lach Slazoma. Which means as follows. How do I achieve my chazaka? The way I achieve my chazaka is that year one, Reuven and this person says that I was on this property. Year two, Shimon and this person. Year three, Levi and this person. Now, for this group to become Edom Zayimim, we have to have another pair of Edom coming and saying that all four of these individuals, could have never been able to say testimony that I was on this property all these years without anybody saying anything, because Imano Yisim, you were with us elsewhere. And only if all four of these individuals, it's been said about them, Imano Yisim, are they Edom Zayimim. But now we're saying, the Gemara suggested, that you can't have Edom Zayimim, in a situation where relatives are saying Edus together. Here, they're all becoming Edom Zayimim, even though they're related to each other. Because obviously the Gemara's consideration was that as long as when they're saying testimony, on year one, Reuven and Shimon are not saying testimony together. It's Reuven and this non-related individual. And so too, year two is Shimon in this non-related individual. And year three is Levi in this non-related individual. The fact that they do combine regarding Hilchas Hazama, and again, the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara, is that only if all four of those individuals are Muslim, are they considered Edom Zomim. But the halacha would be if they all are Muslim, the dinim of Edom Zomim will apply. Again, that's the way most Rishonim will explain. And they'll explain that each one of them will have to pay their share of what they wanted to cause damage. Although I do have to say that I saw that the Yad Ramah takes a different approach. And the Yad Ramah says that since they didn't say testimony together, they won't have the halachas of Kasha Zomim. But we're going to learn the Gemara Poshet. Poshet Pshan, the Gemara is that they can become Edom Zomim together. But now the question is, if we're suggesting that brothers can't make each other Edom Zomim, how could they be Edom? Nimtza, isn't this a situation of Eid Zayman Mishal Moman Be'eid Asachiv? Ella, how do we defend this? Hazal Mama'al Makasi. What happens is as follows. The testimony is the testimony. And as I explained a moment ago, Reuven and this foreigner are speaking about year one. Shimon is talking about, and this person is talking about year two. Levi and this person is talking about year three. Those testimonies, each individual testimony, is a perfect testimony. The fact that there are outside factors here, immaterial, when it comes into question about Hazama. And then the Muki Yosef has a beautiful svara. He says, what would be the halacha? He has a beautiful way of, an analogy in understanding the Gemara. He says, what would be the halacha if a person was an aid to say that a woman is an Eishesish? And then, a while later, this person has an adulterous relationship with that Eishesish. Will we say that she's not an Eishesish? Of course not. When he said testimony, he was a kosher aid. The fact that later on, that testimony comes, so to speak, back to haunt him, has nothing to do with the original testimony. Here too, when these people said the Eidus is a perfect Eidus. The fact that later on we have an issue that they're all brothers together with Hazama has nothing to do with the basic testimony. So we're back to where we started. How do we know that two relatives, two cousins, a Sheni B'Sheni, cannot say testimony together? Answers the Gemara Mkelecht of Kro, Uben Alovis, Inami Heim Alovis, Mai Ubonim, why does the Torah use the word Bonim? Afil Ubonim La'alma. The two cousins cannot say Eidus together. Ask the Gemara, but this pasuk speaks about paternal relatives. Ashkechon kroivei hu'av. Kroivei hu'ei menolon. How do we know the maternal relatives are also disqualified? Amakra answered the Gemara. The pasuk uses the words avos, avos, trezimi. Why does the Torah use the word avos in that pasuk twice? To teach us, imeini inyel kroivei hu'av. If it's not come to teach us that paternal relatives are disqualified, that maternal relatives are also disqualified. And there's a fantastic machloikus we showing him here. The Rambam says, this is one of the types of limudim that we have in Shas. If I don't need the pasuk to teach us this, I'm going to use the pasuk to teach us something else. Says the Rambam, there's a pasuk pshat in the Rambam, that this is not one of the Yud Gimel Midas Shatayrin the Dreshes Behen, and therefore, according to the Rambam, the Chiddush, Kroi Ve'Aim are only possible to be Edom Midrabbanan. And Ramah quotes the Rambam Lahalocha. It's very relevant. If somebody took Kroi Ve'Aim as relatives, but the rice of the Kosher Edom, according to the Rambam. The Shach disagrees. The Shach, and there's a Machlekes, why the Shach, and why many can disagree. One reason is because this whole concept that we're suggesting of Imeini Inyan not being considered a real Derech HaLimud that should be considered the Raisa is only the Rambam's opinion. There are other Rishonim disagree. The Miri disagrees explicitly. Another way of understanding is a very fundamental question. There isn't really time for this question. The Rambam, one makes the Ramah and others explain that the Rambam holds that Kroi Ve'Aim are only possible to Rabbanan, because when the Rambam quotes the halacha of Kroi Ve'Aim, he used the words midivrehem. So everybody says medivrei means the rabbanim. There are pais, the mafarshim, the one explaining when the Rambam uses the words medivreiim, and the Rambam uses the words medivreiim, they're very safe from many primes in the Mishnah Torah. He doesn't mean to say it's the rabbanim. He's just trying to say that it's not an explicit pasuk in the Torah. It's the vreiim. It's the rabbanim who had to help us figure it out, but not to say that it's an explicit pasuk that it's considered only the rabbanim. Continues the Gemara. Ashkechon l'chayva. We only know that the pasuk says lo yumsut, speaking about when the relatives are speaking to the detriment of their relative. L'schus menolam. How do we know that they can't say edus to say to the benefit of their relative? Answers the Gemara. Amakra yumsut yumsut trei zimni. The Torah uses the words yumsut twice, and again. If I don't need to teach us that they can't say to the detriment of their relatives, Tnei in Yuluschos. Ask the Rishonim, and that's an obvious question. If my relative can't say Eidus or my about me, L'chayva, he certainly should be able to say L'schos. L'schos is what you expect an Eidus, a relative to say, because he wants me, his relative, to get off the hook. So if he can't say L'chayva, he certainly should be able to say L'schos. Why do I need a pasuk? So I saw two terutzim. There are probably more. The Ran says a teretz that we find many times. Milsi the Asi b'kav chaima Torah because of lakra. That even though we could have logically figured out, the Torah sometimes says things that we could figure it out logically. Sefer Torah Chaim says a very beautiful teretz. He says the Gemara is teaching us a very fundamental concept in Hilchos Eidus. He says we're assuming that the Torah says, you know why a relative can't say Eidus? For his relative, because relatives care for each other. They're not kosher. So that's not the way to understand the pasuk. You know why a relative can't say Eidus? Because it's a gezeiras hakosef. It has nothing to do with logic. The Torah says that they can't say Eidus. And therefore, the Gemara's question is very legitimate. The Torah only speaks about l'chayva. How do I know that that then implies l'schus? I need a separate limud. There's a very nice chassidus shavart from Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka, from the Vorka Rebbe. Yes, just the opposite. The pasuk should have said that Edom are disqualified l'schus, but maybe the relatives could say l'chayva. Because what's your concern by relatives? Relatives, you're worried that my relative is going to try to say something to my benefit. But if a relative is saying to my detriment, maybe he should be indeed kosher. Why is a relative not kosher to say against me? He obviously is saying the truth, because if I really should be acquitted, he wouldn't say that I did something wrong. So he says a beautiful vart. He says the Torah, when it speaks about Eidus, uses the words for Omdu Shnei Anoshim. Omdu Shnei Anoshim. The Torah calls an aid Anoshim, a mensch. He says a relative that speaks bad about his relative is not a mensch, and therefore he can't be an aid. Says the Gemara further. Ashka medina nefashis. The Torah, all these psukim are speaking about capital cases where relatives are disqualified. Ask the Gemara medina mominus menolon. How do we know that this also applies to dimin mominus? Answers the Gemara, mishpat echad yilachem, the pasuk says, mishpat hashav lachem. All of you are treated in the same way. Says the Gemara, and as I said earlier in the shir, we have these generations, arishin, asheni, b'shlishi. Says Rav the following halacha. Amar Rav, Achi Abba, La Yoidli, my father's brother, who is a Rishon, cannot say testimony for me, because it's a Rishon B'Sheni, who, which is he, is a Rishon, O B'noi V'chosnoi, his children, which is a Sheni to me, Af Ani Loi Oid Loi, neither could I say Eidus to my uncle, Ani Ubni V'chosni. Which teaches us a new halacha, that not only is a Rishon B'Sheni and a Sheni B'Rishon Asar, but now my children to my uncle, which means their great uncle, which is a situation of a Rishon B'Shlishi, are also Asar. V'mai, ask the Gemara, why is Rav saying that so is the halacha? As we just said, isn't this a situation of a Shlishi B'Rishon? V'nan, if we learn our Mishnah, we see that the Mishnah speaks about Sheni B'Sheni, which means a first cousin, Sheni B'Rishon, which means an uncle to a nephew, shlishi berishin, loitnan. So the Gemara is asking, from where does Rav take that even a shlishi berishin is possible for Edus? Says the Gemara, my chasna diktani b'misnisin. We learned in the Mishnah chasnoi, which we understood to mean my uncle's son-in-law or my father's son-in-law. That's not the chasnoi of the Mishnah. The chasnoi of the Mishnah means chosim b'noi. My uncle's, the father's son's son-in-law, which is a shlishi. The Mishnah is indeed, when the Mishnah says chasnoi, it doesn't mean a shlishi, it doesn't mean a sheni, it means a shlishi. So our Mishnah is teaching us about a shlishi. So ask the Gemara if the chasnoi that's being mentioned in the Mishnah refers to the third generation. Ask the Gemara, why is a son-in-law chosen as the example of the third generation? Why isn't a grandson, a son's son, given as the example of a third generation? So listening, Ben Benoi, why isn't the grandson given as the example of the third generation? Answers the Gemara, a very posh the Teretz. Milsa Agavarcha Kamashon on the Baal Kishtai. If we needed to judge who is a further relative, certainly a son-in-law is a further relative, a son's son-in-law is a further relative than a son's son. So Mishnah is teaching us that not only is a son's son disqualified, but even a son's son-in-law is not a blood relative, because of the concept of Ishtik Gufay, he's possible. Ask the Gemara, but if that's the way we're going to understand the Mishnah, Velo Hadatani Reb Chiya, Reb Chiya taught a Braisa in explaining our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, and we learned the Mishnah yesterday, mentions eight relatives. You can read the words of the Mishnah. Ochi v'achi aviv, v'achi imay, v'bal achaysay, v'bal achays aviv, v'bal achays imay, v'bal imay, v'chama v'gisay. These refer to eight relatives. Says the Braisa, in explaining the eight relatives identified in our Mishnah, that's Esra Arba. Why? Because every one of these relatives can have a son and a son-in-law. So it's 8 + 8 + 8 = 24. But that, the son and son-in-law are the sheni, are the second generation. But now Rav taught us that a third generation is also Asur. So why does the Mishnah, why does Rav Chiya say that it's 24? He should have said 32, the third generation. It shouldn't be 24. So ask all the Rishonim, if this is the way we're thinking, it shouldn't be 32, it should be 40. Why? You have the first generation. The first generation is eight relatives identified. With the son and son-in-law is another 16. And now the third generation, is another 8 + 8, their sons and their son-in-laws. So 8 + 8 + 8 + 8, 5 × 8 = 40. So if the Gemara is asking that we're going to include the third generation, the Gemara's question should have been that we should have 40. Why is the Gemara saying that it should have been mentioned only 32? The Rishonim are very troubled with this question. So Rashi and Tosfos give two different answers. One answer, Rashi says that we don't have to mention the son-in-law in the third generation. We already mentioned him in the second generation. That's Rashi's teretz. Tosfos teretz, that we don't have to mention the son in the third generation. We mention him in the second generation. But both of these pshatim are sort of difficult. Why? It's obvious why it's difficult. Because according to Rashi, we're mentioning the son twice. The son-in-law we only mention once. According to Tosfos, we mention the son-in-law twice, and we only mention the son once. Either we're going to mention them all the time, or don't. But why would we choose the son and the son-in-law to be treated differently? So the Tosfos Chachmei Anglia, Rishon, says a very nice teretz. He combines, so to speak, Rashi and Tosfos teretz. He says like this. Second generation, we have to mention the son and the son-in-law. Why do we have to mention both? We have to mention the son, because he's a son. We have to mention the son-in-law, because as we just said a moment ago, to teach us the halacha, that even though he's not a blood relative, he's treated that way. Once we have established that a son-in-law and a son are equal, then in the next generation, there's no reason to differentiate between a son-in-law and a son. And therefore, in the third generation, we only have to mention one. So that's why we have 8 plus eight twice in the second generation. And the third generation, we don't only have to mention that the third generation is included. There is no longer a reason to differentiate between sons and son-in-law. We've already established that there's no difference. So this brisa clearly seems to indicate that third generation is not a problem. How does Rav defend his opinion? Says the Gemara, we re-explain the Mishnah. The Gemara attempts to re-explain the Mishnah. Ella loylam chas mamish. When the Mishnah speaks about a son-in-law, it's speaking about my son-in-law. I'm first generation, my son-in-law is second generation. So we don't have a right to the third generation. Says the Gemara, very bichidish. V'amai kar lechosim v'noi, kivin dem alma ka'osu k'dor archidami. Says the Gemara, a tremendous chiddush. My son-in-law, even though if I'm generation one, my son-in-law is generation two, that's only technically generation two. I'm the first generation, my children are the second generation. But you know, a son-in-law is not a blood relative. So even though technically he's second generation, halachically he's considered third generation. Because he's not my blood relative, he's only a son-in-law. And therefore, if the Mishnah includes my son-in-law, the Mishnah is teaching us the third generation is included as apostle aid. Says the Gemara, if that's the way you're going to explain the Mishnah, then we have a big problem. Our Mishnah says that my son-in-law cannot say Edom. Ed is for my son. They're brother-in-laws, right? But we're also saying that halachically, we're considering my son-in-law a third generation. And my son a second generation, which is a shlishi b'sheni. Im can have a shlishi b'sheni. For Rav, and Rav is the mandom that holds achsha shlishi b'sheni, that he holds a third and second generation as kosher. So if that's the way we're going to explain the Mishnah, Rav's opinion that saying shlishi b'sheni is mutter doesn't have a, is difficult to understand. It says the Gemara, Rav bases his opinion on something Rabbi Loza said. Al Rav, the Amik Rabbi Loza, the Tanya, Rabbi Loza Oyma, Shem she'achi abba lo yoyed li, he's a rishim b'sheni, hu ubenoi uchasnoi, which means a rishim b'sheni and a sheni b'sheni, kach ben achi abba lo yoyed li, which is a sheni b'sheni, hu ubenoi uchasnoi, which is a shlishi b'sheni. Ask the Gemara immediately. So we just, Rabbi Loza just said that shlishi b'sheni is possible. Vakati havalei shlishi b'sheni, and we just said for Rav achsher shlishi b'sheni. The Rav is the mandam that says shlishi b'sheni is not a problem. Answers the Gemara. Rav sova kvasei b'chada upalaglei b'chada, which means as follows. Absolutely, according to Rabbi Lezer, a shlishi b'sheni is possible. But says the Gemara, doesn't say it explicitly. We have to learn pshat in the Gemara. If a shlishi b'sheni is asur, a shlishi berishin is certainly also. Shlishi berishin is closer than a shlishi b'sheni. So if Rabbi Loza says shlishi b'sheni is also, he clearly holds that a shlishi berishin is also. Rav chose to agree with Rabbi Loza regarding the shlishi berishin, but not agree regarding shlishi b'sheni. There's interesting Briska Rav. Very interesting Briska Rav. The Briska Rav is actually based on a Chassidish Maisa. There was once somebody that came to the Chayza, from the Chayza of Lublin, and the person needed the Rebbe to give him a bracha. And he told the Rebbe, and he was a distant relative to the Rebbe. So he said to the Rebbe, I'm your relative, you have to give me a bracha. So the Rebbe said, Oich me'akarev, you're a relative, you're a distant relative. So somebody went to somebody else, to one of the other Rebbes, and said, tomorrow, when the Chayza davens Shemin Esrei, and he says, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, you should say, Eichen Azayda, how many generations back Avraham, Yitzchak, from Yaakov? And that's what happened. So the person stood next to the Chayza when he said Shemin Esrei, and the Chayza said, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, as we all say three times a day. And the person said to the Chayza, Eichen Akorov, also a relative. And the Chayza said, you know what? You're right. You're right. And he gave him a bracha. The story was sent over to the Briska Rav. To the Briska Rav. Chassidus Shemaisa. And the Briska Rav said, it's a great story, but it's not a good, but it's wrong. He says, when we speak about Rishim B'Sheni, Sheni B'Sheni, all these relatives, you look at all the examples the Gemara give, they never speak about grandchildren. When it comes to the direct line, father children, grandchildren, great-great-great-grandchildren, so on. That there's no concept of shlishi, revi, chamishi. Because there's a special bond between, in a direct line. So, yes, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were many generations back, but we're in a direct line from them. That always remains related. Says the Gemara. My time of the Rav. Rav says a shlishi barishin is usur, dama kro. Lo yumsa avos abonim, ubonim, l'rabbis dar achar, the dar shlishi. Rebbe Lazar. So that's how Rav knows shlishi barishin is usur. Ask the Gemara, Rebbe Lazar, who we just finished saying that not only is a shlishi barishin usur, but a shlishi b'sheni also. So how does he know that? Rebbe Lazar, al bonim, amrachmana, psule the others shadi abonim, which means that if the father's osur, because he's a sheni, the shlishi is also b'sheni. Continues the Gemara. Amar of Nachman, achi chamoisi, my father-in-law's brothers, which is my wife's uncle, lo yoidli. Then achi chamoisi, my father-in-law's nephews, lo yoidli. Then achois chamoisi, my mother-in-law's sister's son, lo yoidli. Again, my wife's first cousin. V'tana tuna, and actually, we learned this in a braisa. Bal achoisoi, we learned this in the Mishnah, I mean. Bal achoisoi, bal achois aviv, or bal achois imoi, heino b'neim, v'chesneim. Ask the Gemara, Omer of Ashi, kevinim bei Ula, we were in the yeshiva of Ula, iboili, achi chom of mahu. What is the halacha regarding my father-in-law's brother? Ben achi achiv mahu. Ben achois achiv mahu. I'm away. So yes, what's the question? T'nesua. Achiv, v'chi aviv, v'chi imoy, hein, v'neim, v'mestayim. And therefore the apostle. Says the Gemara, Rav ikal mezbeg gvili. Rav came to buy parchment. He came to a place to buy parchment. He walked into a store and brought me name, and the following question was asked of him. We learned in our Mishnah that the stepson is somewhat different. That even though somebody can't say testimony about his stepson and vice versa, the question was, but the Mishnah did say that although all the other relatives mentioned in the Mishnah, it's only the relative himself and not his children, and all the other relatives include the children. By stepson, it's only the stepson himself, not his relationship. So now the Gemara asked, if we say that a stepson's relations are sort of limited, so how does that work? You certainly can't say about your stepson. You certainly can't say Adis about your stepson's children. What would be the halacha regarding your stepson's wife? So the answer was given. Besura Amri, Baal ki ishtoi. B'medisa Amri, Isha Kabbalah. So where most Rishonim explain this Gemara, that there really is no machloikis between Sura and Pampadisa. They're both saying the concept of Ishta Kagufay. They just chose different ways of expressing it. However, I did see that the Meiri takes a different approach. And he says that there is a machloikis between Surah and Pumbedisa. He says, because according to Pumbedisa, says the Meiri, this is what I'm first explaining the Meiri, we say Ishta Kagufay. Why do we say Ishta Kagufay? Because there's a rule throughout Shas, Komasha Kansa Isa, Ishta Kansa Bala. But there is no rule, Komasha Kana Bala, Kana Ishta. So Pumbedisa says only Isha Kabbalah, but not Bala Ke Ishta. Surah says, If Ishta Kegufa, it has to go both ways. Where do we take this concept of Ishta Kegufa? Dam Rafuna Marav, Menayin Shi Isha Kabbalah, Tikserv Ervis Achia Vichalai Sagala, El Ishta Lai Sikrov, the Doschachi. So the question is, she's not your Doscha, she's the wife of your uncle. Vilai Eshis Doidihi, Mechlal the Ishta Kabbalah. Here too, for the record, there's a Machloikis Rishonim, if this Limud of Ishta Kegufa is a deraisa, makes her an issa deraisa to say edis, or it's only an issa derabbanan. Here too, the Rambam's opinion is that it's only derabbanan. We learned in the Mishnah, ubal imoy, my mother's husband, I can't say testimony for, Who ubenai v'chasnai? Asked the Gemara, the son of my mother's husband is my brother. A brother I can't say testimony for anyway. Why must the Mishnah mention it? Amar v'yimiya, v'nitzcha alachia ach. Meaning, very simple. I was born to my mother and father. My mother remarried somebody else. They had children. And that man had children from a previous marriage. So this person is my brother's brother, but he's not related to me. Rav Chisda Achsha Bachiach. Rav Chisda said my brother's brothers, I can't say Eidus for, because there's really no relationship to them. Ask the Gemara, Amalei lo shmilei hod Rav Yimiyah. Didn't you hear what Rav Yimiyah just taught us? Amalei lo shmilei klem lo shmilei. I heard it, but I don't agree. Ask the Gemara, if so, we're back to original Kasha. We asked the question, why did the Mishnah have to say, Baal imay hu ubenoi v'chasnoi? So we explained, benoi comes to mean, achia ach. But not that Rav Chisda holds that achia ach is not possible. So what does the Mishnah mean with this? Iach yuhayno achiv. Answers the Gemara, the reason the Mishnah mentioned achiv is not to say that a person, achia ach is osur. Achia ach is mutter. But the Mishnah came to teach us whether it's a situation of achiv mena av, the ketani achiv mena ein. But it has to be at least a half brother for be possible. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, avi achosn v'avi kala, which we know now the way we would describe Rav Mechutonim, avi achosn v'avi kala, idim zeh lezeh. They could say edus for each other. V'loy doma lahadadi, because they have no relationship, el ke'ach l'ladona. Like a cover on top of a picture. So the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara, it's a very casual relationship. It's only the relationship of a cover to a picture, and therefore they could say Eidus for each other. But I saw that the Rishonim that say that even though Mechutonim could say Eidus for each other, they can't be a Dayonim. The Gemara is saying, as far as being a relative, and we're going to have this concept many times, because to say Eidus, people typically don't lie. But a dayan has to be completely objective. And you can't always be objective when you're dealing with relatives or mechutanim. There's a very sharp vart from the Pnei Menachem. The Gemara here calls relatives like the cover to a pot. He says, why does the Gemara consider mechutanim? Why does the Gemara use this example for mechutanim? It says, the Gemara many times says when you have a pot that two people are steering, like career of Lechemim, it's not going to be cold, it's not going to be hot. It's not good to have two people mixing together a pot. So Gemara is teaching us that the two mechutanim shouldn't mix in to their children's lives. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba bar Rabba Chana, Meir Odom Ishtai Arusa. A person could say Eidus for his wife who's an Arusa. Amar Vina, Loi Amaron El Lafuk Mina. It's only coming to say money away from her. That's when he could say Eidus. Aval La Yulila, that she should, that I should say Eidus, and because of my Eidus, she should get money. La Mehemin, because I'm in the gay bedover, because ultimately that money is going to be my money. However, says the Gemara Velahi, Loishna La Fuki, Loishna La Yuli, whether it's to have or make money or lose money, La Mehemin. My Daitach, why? Could Amr Avchi Bar Ami, Ishmeid Ula, Ishta Arusa, the Aloch is, that an Ishta who's an Arusa, Loi Oinen, even though normally when a wife dies, somebody becomes an Oinen, V'loi Metamala, became he Loi, and then it's V'loi Metamala Loi. The first explain, what's the Chiddush that she is or isn't Metama? There's no Issa for a woman to become Tameh. So it's two Pshatim. One Pshat is, the Torah says the Kohen is not allowed to get Tameh. By relative, not only is he allowed to get Tameh, he's supposed to get Tameh. Here it says V'loi Metama means that she's not obligated to become Tameh. Another pshat is, let's say he dies on Yontif. On Yontif, you're not allowed to get Tamei. So if you're obligated to get Tamei, you're obligated to get Tamei. Otherwise, loy metama. Meisa eni yarsha. Meisu goy v'ksuba. So we see that they aren't related. Why can't they say Eidus? Answers the Gemara Hasam regarding these halachas, b'she'eru tala rachmana, and until the full-fledged marriage, when the suin, akata lav she'erihi. Hocha mishum akruve data. It has to do with a kruvei data. For a kruvei data l'gaba, they have the kiruv hadas. However, the Rishonim debate the following question. The Rishonim debate, what will be the halacha regarding to the relatives of my Arusa? Relatives of my Nesua, the Mishnah says explicitly, can't say Edus. The Arusa itself was saying you can't say Edus. Relatives of my Arusa, if she's treated like my full-fledged wife or not, is a machlokes Rishonim. Also, Al Gemara is speaking about an Arusa. We know that a Jewish marriage has two steps, Erusin and Nesuin. We do it at the same time under the Chuppah. What about a Mushudeches? Somebody who's only a woman I'm engaged to, but not my Arusa. That, according to the letter of the law, is certainly I'm allowed to say Edus. However, the Paiskim say that even though, according to Al Gemara, you should be allowed to say Edus or Mushudeches, not for Dine Mamnes. Why? Because since she's your Kala, and ultimately the money she's earning will be yours, so you're considered a gay bedover, and you can't say Edus. Chargoy Levadoy. As I mentioned earlier, the Mishnah says a stepson, only he, not his children. Taner Abonin, the Bryce says Chargoy Levadoy. Rabbi Yossi, and we're going to spend time trying to understand what Rabbi Yossi means, Gisoy, his brother-in-law. V'tani Idach, Gisoy Levadoy, his brother-in-law, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chargoy. So now we need to understand my comment, what Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi said. Ilema, says the Gemara, perhaps what they're saying is as follows. Hachkama. Chargo levadoi, buhodin levagisoi. That by stepson, it's only he, not his descendants. And so too, by a brother-in-law. Vasa, Rabbi Yossi Lemeima. Rabbi Yossi is not disagreeing. He's just saying it differently. He's saying, Gisa levadoi, my brother-in-law along, buhodin lechargoi. In other words, both of them are saying that both a brother-in-law and a stepson, only they is there a problem, not with their descendants. Ask the Gemara if everybody is agreeing that by a brother-in-law, the psul is only he himself, and not his descendants, our Mishnah Diktani, Elamas Nisa Diktani, Gisoy, Hu Ubenoy, V'chasnoy, that by brother-in-law, it's not only he, but it's also his son-in-law and son, Mani, who will be the Tanavah Mishnah, Loi Rabbi Yehuda, Loi Rabbi Yossi. It won't follow either of these opinions, Ella. So we have to redirect and explain what we learned at the beginning differently. Alachi Kama. Chargo Levadoi. The Tanakama holds only his son, stepson, Aval Gisa, when it comes to a brother-in-law, Hu Ubnoi V'chasnai. Vos Rabbi Yossi Levaima. Now Rabbi Yossi says, Gisa Levadoi, by brother-in-law, it's only he. Avachargoy, who ubenoy v'chasnoy. Ask the Gemara if that's the way we're going to understand the machloikus of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi. We go back to the brice that we quoted earlier in the shir. Vela hada tani Rabbi Chiya, shmaina avashen esun v'arba k'man, like Rabbi Yossi v'like Rabbi Yehuda, because each one of them is eliminating one. So the Gemara, again, we have to try to understand machloikus differently. Halach kama. Chargo levadoi, avgisu hu benoy v'chasnoy. Vos Rabbi Yossi lemem v'gisu levadoi v'koshkein chargoi. Masnison, the Brishna will follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that Gisa includes his children. Braisa, the Braisa will say that only has eight relatives will be following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Omer, Rabbi Yehuda m'shmu, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that both a brother-in-law and a stepson is only they themselves. Says the Gemara, Hahimatanasa, there was a shtar matana, that the Edom were two brothers. Savar of Yosef Lachshura. So Rabbi Yosef wanted to say that this should be considered a kosher document, because we just learned, Dam Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul, Amalei Halok Rabbi Yosef, and therefore it should be mutter. Amalei Baya, Maid Rabbi Yosef, the Machsnisan, the Machshavagisai, Dilma Rabbi Yossi de Braisa, the possible Gisai, and therefore it should be possible. So Zmar Lois HaGadatach. Dama Shmuel, Kigoyin Anol Pinchas. Pinchas and Shmuel were brothers and also brother-in-laws. They married his sisters. They're possible. Ava Gisai de Alma, typical brother-in-laws, can't say Edus together. Ask the Gemara, Dilma Kigoyin Anol Pinchas Mishum de Gisai Kamar. Maybe the problem wasn't just that they were brothers. Maybe the issue was also they were brother-in-laws. Amalei, Zil Kanye Beit Masir. So if this document was possible, whether because they were brothers or even because they were brother-in-laws, So the document is possible. So he says, what we have to do is rely on Edim Mesira, that we'll see that the gift being given, and therefore we don't need the document to be a good gift. Kribbelazer, as Kribbelazer taught us in Masechta Gittin, Edim Mesira Karti. Ask the Gemara, Vomer Ba'aba, Madre Belezer Mezuyim B'Tach Shu Pasol. Rebbe Elazar says that even though Rebbe Elazar is of the opinion that Edim Sira Karti, if you have a document that, according to Rebbe Elazar, is superfluous, but if the document has Pasol Edim, that discredits the entire transaction. And Rishonim explain, because a bare document is worse than no document, or people may come to rely on the document, and the document is invalid. Amlei L'Shafkoi D'Siv Nalach. So he said, the document wasn't good. I wanted to rely on the Edim Mesira, now you said that the Edim Mesira won't work. So I wanted to get you the gift, but the halacha didn't allow me to get it to you.